From the backstretch at Saratoga, this is Loose on the Lead with Steve Bick and Seth Merrill. Loose on the Lead is sponsored by Thoroughgraph, everything you need to win. Visit Thoroughgraph.com. The new Colonial Downs and the Virginia Equine Alliance. Hill and Dale, home of perennial standouts. Curlin, Kitten's Joy, Midnight Luke, and emerging stallions, Violence, Byron, and Army Mule. Visit hillanddalefarms.com for consignments at the 2019 yearling sales. Case Supply, the kitchen and bath professionals across upstate New York. Showrooms in Syracuse, Auburn, and Amsterdam. Make your dream kitchen and bath a reality. Visit casesupplyinc.com. And McMahon of Saratoga, standing breakout stallion central banker. Number one in New York and among the nation's leading young sires. Visit McMahonThoroughbred.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Loose on the Lead on this Sunday morning, live from Saratoga. Seth Merrill and Steve Bick. Steve, good morning. Back in town from Monmouth.
Good morning. Absolutely. We didn't have a helicopter, so.
Radio show, well, you went down on Wednesday for the radio show or Thursday?
Went down Wednesday, broadcast Thursday and Friday, and of course yesterday. I don't know what to say.
They're in a tough spot. I mean, it was just...
No, I don't know.
But it is a tough spot. No matter what decision you make, it's their big day, and it's hard to shift it around, and you have national TV. I don't know what the optimum decision would have been. Move it to Sunday? I don't know.
The problem was that with the heat, you were going to have...
I say move it to Sunday. They canceled today.
They ended up canceling for today as much because their employees and so
late
forth
night, yeah.
Were there literally from 6 a.m. until 10 p.m. I had Dennis Drazen on Friday, Seth, and I could feel like there was real uncertainty about how to handle this. He mentioned that we have the option of running the card later. Well, it wasn't all that much cooler later. That was not going to be a perfect solution by any means.
They're out of lights, right? They couldn't run the entire card.
No. That wasn't going to happen either. The problem is these external pressures.
Yeah.
You also had state officials that interjected themselves into this as, they delayed the start of the card. They delayed the first two races. Then they said you need to take the middle portion of the day. I mean, you're either going to cancel or you run as is. And there was no incidents. There were precautions taken all over the place. There was every... thing that they needed to have in terms of the misters and the cool, the cooling towels and ice and everything to keep horses cool. I don't know. This was the worst possible outcome. I mean, in terms of negativity and in terms of, people going away dissatisfied, not to mention the connections that were involved on the card that expected to run. What about the patrons that, paid to get in and then left?
We should also say, for people who aren't aware, what happened was they ran the first two races, then canceled / postponed. All the stakes races were then moved to 6 o'clock. All the non-stakes races after race two were canceled.
Yeah, and, it's nice that they got the stakes in. And certainly the stakes turned out terrific in the stakes, although there were several horses that ended up scratching, and they're given that leeway anyway because they're in stakes races. But there were also horsemen, that just for different reasons, like Jovia. That were wondered why Jovia didn't run. Jovia actually had a little bit of a tender foot, and so Greg Sacco said, we're not running. This was a difficult scenario, and I felt bad for everybody down there. It's such a great place, and I love going to Monmouth. It was the first racetrack that I could attend on a regular basis. You've never been to Monmouth?
I've never been. I got to get down there. Because also, I will also mention, and we'll lead into your paperwork here, They have a great series of contests down there. People looking for contests.
Well, Ryan Skirker does a fabulous job. That's
everybody,
one of the top.
When we were in Vegas, a lot of people were touting the Monmouth contests.
Well, I'm not giving you the Haskell hat now because you've never been to Monmouth. So why should? I'm kidding. I wouldn't do that.
I got to see if Gene Kirshner predicted the turquoise color when he does the racing crescent at the end of every year.
Oh, yeah, and
he always
and the
predicts.
Color of
he
the
always
next
predicts
year.
the hat as that's one of his. Crystal ball prediction.
Is it? It's not based on the winning colors of the horse the year before, maybe.
Oh well, that would make the crystal ball very easy then. I don't think it is.
Let's talk. Let's talk about the Haskell and let's. Well, actually, we're jumping right in because of the immediate things. Let me tell you what's coming up. Vic Zito is going to join us, and obviously, we'll talk about Mary Lou Whitney and the way the word spread on Friday, and the outpouring of affection, rightly so, for.
I'll mention, because you weren't here, it was really nice to see the fans react as they did. They announced it here on the front side. Larry Colmus announced just before the fifth race. They took a moment of silence for Mary Lou Whitney, and when they ended the moment of silence, they had a little big applause from the crowd, which was nice. And I think a lot of people didn't realize, I was talking to some people at an event last night, didn't realize until they saw, you know, the news stories and what they read in the paper, just how fundamental she was to this community. It was just much more than her party and her ownership of horses, but she was fundamental in starting SPAC when the town and the racetrack were kind of in a hard spot at the end of the 60s, early 70s. She and some other folks founded SPAC, which I think changed the complexion of the city. So she was just important in Saratoga in all kinds of ways.
Well, there was a lot of things that went on. I was talking, actually driving back from Jersey, I was talking to Aaron Yagoda, and Aaron said it was eerie. They canceled racing on Saturday, the day after, no racing in part, not because of Mary Lou, but it feels like that. And then the Women in Racing exhibit at the Hall of Fame opened yesterday as well, and Mary Lou, her importance can't be underestimated. And her, I know everybody was tweeting things, and I put up a picture. In fact, we'll show the picture that I took a couple of years ago of her being shown the blanket. Her presence will not diminish. She's one of those people that you just always expected to be around. I'm sure when Nick joins us, he'll echo that sentiment. And a lot of people, I think, felt that she was just always going to be there, and she always will. What she did on the backstretch, and with husband John Hendrickson, what she did on the backstretch really elevated the awareness of the dedication and, in a lot of cases, the hardship that the backstretch employees deal with.
And I wrote on my website, she's often referred to as a socialite, and that has a certain connotation. And I said, down to earth may not be the right phrase, but she was much more than a socialite. With that backstretch, the initiative she and her husband did, demonstrate that perfectly. That movie night, that dinner night, and they would go over. They'd watch the movie with the backstretch folks and have dinner.
In amongst. Nick Karras, who runs the backstretch group. Nick, I thought, had some wonderful comments in the obituaries. But Nick will join us. In addition to talking about Mary Lou with Nick, for those of you that may not have heard, also on Friday, Jimmy Pico died, and at the age of 88, down at Pembroke Pines. And Jimmy Pico, who was a
maybe now's a good time. I asked him to pull up the Willow Hour Travers. He beats Pleasant Colony.
Yeah, absolutely.
Trained that one, so maybe we can show him the stretch run there as we talk about Jimmy Pico.
Well, and you know, Jimmy Pico really admired and respected, and I had really the fortunate opportunity to talk to him on air, and he was already, he's been pretty sick the last 5 or 6 years. And his wife, Helen, she died maybe 4 years ago, but when Val's Prince passed away, and Val's Prince was a favorite of mine, and so to have the opportunity to discuss Val's Prince with Jimmy was really fun and really special, and we talked more about his whole career. But Nick will talk about Pico as well as Mary Lou, because Jimmy's been gone. I'm sure if you're of a certain age, you don't remember him or his brother, Clarence. They were fixtures, And you know, Jimmy, kind of a bellwether, Seth. I'll bring this up with Nick, of a guy who retired really before he probably had to, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He, when Fred Hooper passed away, Fred Hooper was his big client, and when Hooper passed, it became difficult for him to attract owners, and he was not a guy that was out there hustling, you know, hustling owners, and it sort of hastened his departure from the game, and it's sad in that regard, because he didn't necessarily have to. I mean, he must have retired 2004. Four? There you go. 2004, 2005. So Nick will also talk about Jimmy Pikiu, and here is Willow Auer at a
on the
big
inside,
price on
Pleasant,
the inside.
Pleasant Colony
hooking up.
Yeah, it's holding off Pleasant Colony in the Traverse. The 1981 Traverse.
Yes, 81. Exactly.
Willow Auer, Pleasant Colony. I believe Eddie Maple was on
board. Eddie Maple absolutely was on board. And Maple...
getting it done.
Look at that with the with the right hand to keep him on the straight and narrow. And I can't wait to hear from Nick, even under these circumstances with the passing of Jimmy Pikiu. He's one of those people that when I started playing in the 80s, he, Scotty Schoenhofer.
Yeah.
Yeah, these were names. It's so funny because before I started to really understand and know the ins and outs, I didn't realize that Flint Schoenhofer and Scotty Schoenhofer were the same people. I thought maybe they were brothers. I would hear Scotty Schoenhofer referred to, and then in the PPs I would see Flint, and I didn't really know enough at the time. Lucky enough to sit with him at one of Mary Ryan and Bill Hirsch's winter dinners down in Florida, and Pikiu and people like that were trainers that I really when you're first learning the PPs and had respect for certain names that as you were understanding trainer angles and who was good.
Karen Johnson's dad was
well, PG, absolutely. Del Carroll, another favorite. You know what we can do, Seth? Nick is here, and so rather than vamp and go through the Haskell stuff, we'll have Nick join us, and we'll continue this conversation. We'll get him mic'd up, and he can also share his thoughts on some of those outcomes on BSU.
And
right, Nick, how's that sound? That's good. All right, let's take a break. We're just getting going. We got an abbreviated show today, so we'll spend the next 25 minutes till 10:45 with Nick Zito, who's actually got a couple of horses, too, to talk about. But Mary Lou Whitney, Jimmy Pikiu, and the Haskell, and more, with Nick Zito. When we come back, Loose on the Lead.
Recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today.
We're back on Loose on the Lead. Let's get right into it and have Nick Zito join us. And Nick, momentous passings. Certainly Mary Lou Whitney, just an icon. Moments that I think certainly this generation of horse player and fan, indelible when it comes to Birdstone and the two wins, whether it's the upset in the Belmont or the wild scene in the Travers. But for you, talk about Mary Lou as a person and your relationship with her and what she means to New York racing in general.
Well, you know, Steve and Seth, most of the time, I've been saying this all week, when someone passes, it's always, you know, he's a nice guy. You know, when the S&F boys leaves us, they're great guys, you know, they're wonderful guys, and everybody's nice. But with her, it's all true. All the things that they say about her, because I had a long relationship with a long one, and they're all true. And that's an amazing thing to go through your life where, you know, not many people, you know, it's always he's this or she's that. No, she was an incredible person. I could say that firsthand. Now, the people that knew her will say the same exact thing I said, and they were blessed because they knew her. The town greeted her, as you know, and they pronounced her queen, and rightfully so. She was the queen of Saratoga, and there'll never be one like her. That's just the way it is. But she was a wonderful lady, tremendous heart, tremendous spirit, and I love her determination. She never wavered. She kept going, and she loved her horses, as you could see. She loved it.
Let's get to a specific memory. Steve alluded to it already, and I asked the guys in the control room to pull up the 2004 Travers Birdstone.
Yes.
Got dark, it was raining, yeah. Tom Durkin makes mention as they come under the wire, and folks will realize how dark it was when that photo finish light shows on the finish line. But talk about your memories of this Travers and Mary Lou coming out in the winner's circle, and Webb, she didn't mind, she was getting the trophy for the Travers.
Well,
what are your memories here?
My memories are, you know, I think it's Hall of Fame in baseball today, right? Am I correct?
Yeah,
it's the induction.
Yeah, it's the induction. And this is probably the closest thing as a movie you'll see. A baseball movie called The Natural. If you remember how the lightning was and everything was, that's exactly what happened here because, you know, I see the lightning and the dark rain and everything. It was just, it was quite a scene. And, you know, we were all excited and we had another horse in the race too who ran extremely well, the Cliff's Edge. But I think, you know, rightfully so. And how could you not, you know, be pulling for Mary Lou? You know, obviously everybody knew this is what she dreamed her whole life about, and to win a Travers and to have a homebred, to be responsible for the breeding, you know, to have the mother, the father, everybody was just an incredible, you know, thing for her to
do. And talk a little bit about the Belmont Stakes win with this horse, because you don't see too often kind of the sportsmanship she showed you. You know, everybody wants to win a classic, and I'm sure you and the whole team were thrilled, but she recognized it was, you put the kibosh on a triple crown that folks had waited a long time for, and so she kind of took the time to recognize that as well.
Absolutely. That's well said, because she really felt apologetic. I wasn't as bad because I had 5 seconds going into, 5 seconds in the Belmont. So going in there, but I had said, you know, I said, I'm sorry, Mary Lou, because I think your can or beer, whatever they thrown, they were so mad to people. I said, the good thing was mine was empty, you know, because I was from New York. But the interesting thing was she was so gracious, very apologetic, very sad that, you know, she had stopped part of history, she thought. But then again, look how it turned out. You know, Seth, Steve, she became history because her horse won the Belmont. You'll never see, I'm pretty sure I could say, 120,000 people. That will never happen again at Belmont Park. And maybe 30 million people, 33 million people watching. So she became, that's a great picture, part of history right there.
And am I right? Was that Travers win we just saw, was that the first start back after the Belmont?
Yeah, that was interesting because years ago, they didn't have, you know, you had to run in a prep, had to run in a Jim Daniel. So I had said, and I'll tell you a funny story about it. I had said, I'm just going to train the horse up to it. So they were great, you know, Mary Lou and John. They were terrific. They're terrific owners, and I said, I'm going to train the horse up to it. So she came out one morning to watch the horse work. It's a funny story. And I told Maxine, you know, work him. I said, I'm going to try to, like, work him, like, 7/8 on the Oklahoma. But I just stopped from the half-mile pole. He gets tired, whatever. So she breezed him, and he galloped out, like, 7/8, if you could believe it, like, 25 and change in Oklahoma. Yeah, galloped out the mile. And Mary Lou was standing there. And I said, you know, Mary Lou, isn't it amazing how these good horses train themselves? And she said, look, wash your mouth out with soap. Sonny would fire you. You're a horse trainer. So she was sturdy about her horses, and she was, you know, that morning she had a mind on business. You know what I mean?
Speaking of the business, at what point, I'm curious, because we have to talk about Birdtown too. But
sure. Thank you.
I can recall the active reacquisition that she went out. There was a point where she was going out and she was searching for her bloodlines,
That's
for the
right.
family bloodline, Sonny's,
yeah.
you know, Sonny's bloodstock.
Yeah.
And she basically reassembled it. And it wasn't like starting from scratch, but who was involved in that? And at what point did you sign on? And what do you recall about the matings and about the rebirth of the...
Well, I've known her a while, and what happened was, you want to know how I first started training for her?
Yeah.
I've known her a long time, and I actually showed Tim Wilkin a picture of Strike the Gold, because she had gotten friendly with the owners of Strike the Gold. She's in the winner's circle with us, Bluegrass. But before that, I was fortunate enough, because Manhasset Stable, I was working for, that was my biggest job at the time, when I first got started. And there was Sandra Whitney, when I say Sandra Whitney, Sandra Payson, who was Joan Whitney Payson's daughter, who owned the Mets in Greentree, and Jack Whitney was her uncle. So I was invited to dinner at Lake Lonely, and Mary Lou was there with Sonny Whitney, with C.B. Whitney. So I'd known her, and then, of course, 1995, I ran into her Keeneland, because she had known the owners of Strike the Gold, but I had run into her Keeneland. John was with her, and her husband, John Henriksen, and she said, look at these pedigrees. And that's when I started working for her. And what happened was, she went out and got Dear Birdie herself,
right.
herself. And I had spoke to John about it, because he became the racing manager too. I said, you know, John, this ain't a bad idea, because this is the Whitney blood and everything. I don't think it's a bad idea. So obviously he did a good job with the stable that way. And the rest was history. We got to Burton, as you said, who still, believe it or not, no offense to Rachel, because Rachel probably could have broke it, but Burton's Oaks is still the fastest Oaks.
She still holds?
She still holds the record. I'm pretty sure if you look it up. But I mean, Rachel, I think, Calvin went like that, that she would have broke the record. But that was a great thing, and of course the Travis and the Belmont. But she was a great lady inside, and you know, I don't have to tell the folks out there; they know, the locals know. I remember as a guy when I had black hair, she brought the Today Show up here. When racing, you know, was kind of like, you don't want to say it was like a ghost town. I mean, I discovered it. Way back when, Saratoga, I was one of the first ones to train the good horses up here. You know, I believed in the town, I believed in what they have to offer, and you know, with horses and everything. But she was responsible for the rebirth, I would say. And you'd say, well, wait a second, you're telling me that she created racing? No, of course not.
But
this place was in dire straits.
Oh, the people that come now, if you've only come to Saratoga in the last 10, 15 years, you have no idea what was going on here. This town was threadbare. This town was rough around the edges. It was plenty dumpy. And
Absolutely.
What's gone on here, and the parallel tracks.
I mean, when I first started coming, I remember you could get a grandstand seat, put a newspaper on, that was your seat for the day, one of the grandstand seats.
There was real uncertainty in the 60s and into the early 70s about maintaining, you know, the dates and so forth.
Yeah.
And then actually there were, who else? Not Bernard Baruch. Harriman.
Oh yeah, Abel Harriman,
who basically guaranteed that things were going to be maintained here, but then Mary Lou added a renovation projects.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It really helped initiate what has become
rebirth. Think about this. How many times have you seen it with a celebrity, not just a movie star or whatever, or socialites or movie star? How about dignitaries?
Yeah.
And then the best part, the best compliment I could give her, she related to mom and pop. Yeah. They were her, that was her queen.
Well, I've related the story a few times that there used to be that, and I forget which radio station it was, but they had the kind of that morning zoo crew that did things at Zero's every time.
Yeah.
And she'd show up and play right along.
Yeah, that's cool, yeah. But you know, because you guys are from the area, I mean, she, you can relate to her. You know, and everybody, and you know, everybody just, she was just a special lady. I mean, I'm just so blessed to have all these things I'm telling you guys about. I was involved with her. I'm very, very blessed. Very blessed.
One of the really special parties, or at least events. Do you remember after Funnyside and Birdtown had swept, and there was a party at Ciro's that basically to celebrate, essentially what was a Saratoga
Oaks
and Derby sweep, and of course the street signs, the corner of Funnyside and Birdtown, and it was really, from a lot of standpoints, what could have been a real kickstart, but a putting of the spurs to New York racing in general. But instead, we ended up with that protracted fiasco of having uncertainty about the franchise. And so, for instance, the New York breeding program, which sort of absolutely taken off with Funnyside, with all the interest and excitement that he generated, that was ended up being delayed for quite a while. But that seemed like it was going to be the genesis of a real strong momentum builder. And I'll never forget that at Ciro's, and it spent time talking to John and Mary Lou, and I bet Birdtown. There was
something there.
There definitely was.
She ran, we ran the 7/8, and then we came back, and she was good, and she was good in that race. That was always a good angle, go 7/8, and then, two turns. That always helps.
There was, you mentioned Mrs. Payson too. There's a certain gentility, and I don't want to call it a throwback. There's a certain part of racing, and she's going to be inducted into the Pillars of the Turf at the museum. What, next week? Two weeks?
2 weeks.
August 2nd. She was part of that certain class of the sport that only a few people, like a Charlotte Weber, continues
well,
to
well,
maintain.
Well, it's funny you said that. You mentioned Charlotte Weber and people like that. There's only a handful left, if you know what I'm saying.
Sure.
And I don't mean anything disrespectful with partnerships. Obviously, you need that. That's what keeps the game going. But I'm spoiled, I guess. I trained for a lot of single owners that were great, and they didn't have many partnerships, but now they do. But that was a treat to train for her and to be with her and to be her friend. And, of course, with John, be his friend, too. So at the end of the day, but we've lost a great lady, but her spirit will live on. And I think the other thing is, too, is, not to give any hints to Naira or anybody else, but logos are a good thing. And sometimes, perceptions, whatever. Sometimes, maybe if a fan comes in, I don't know, you give them a ticket honoring Mary Lou.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Just say it's Mary Lou Day, come in for free, and give a button. I'm sorry, Dave O'Rourke, I didn't talk to you personally, but I can walk in his office, so he's going to be mad. Why don't you just tell me?
But I won't be surprised, though, if they do something.
Oh, yeah.
And were you on the front side the other day when they announced it in the crowd?
Absolutely. Yeah, I was. I was running like a crazy man, all over the place when I heard, what happened. And that's another thing that, again, I'm really grateful because the fans stopped me when that happened. I can almost, I don't want to tear up today, but that was a good moment for me because, hey, Nick, I'm so sorry. And that's just wonderful. I get goosebumps now talking to you guys. But great lady, great history. I'm glad that happened. The Belmont, the Travis, the Oaks. And again, what could I say? There'll never be another Mary Lou.
Yeah.
So it's true.
let's, you know, you talk New York breds, and because we were, before you sat down, we were talking about one of your great New York breds that you mentioned. Suffolk Downs closed. You were up there for the last weekend of Suffolk, and you were there for the last MassCap winner commentator.
Sure. Yeah.
And while we were talking, I pulled up the stats because I knew I wasn't sure how many. But he won two editions of the Whitney up here.
Let me tell you something about that. The last one, you say, what do you mean the last one? He almost won three.
Yeah, that's right.
There was a kind of a horse that pressed the pace with him, and I thought we could win three, and then he would have just certainly marched across the street.
Yeah.
You win three Whitneys, he would have certainly marched across the street. But he was a tremendous horse, New York bred, and I was happy to go out because I liked, and I always listen to Steve's show, and I listen to your stuff. That's why I said S, and it's easy to remember. You know, you guys got two initials that I bet you don't realize. Secretarian, Seattle Slough.
Oh, I like
spectacular
that.
Bid. It's pretty good, S. Right? It's not bad, right?
Yeah, very good.
Nick, tell everybody about when you came on the racetrack, Jimmy Picou's career was in full swing.
Yeah.
And it's tomorrow I'll have a couple of visitors undoubtedly, and I'll probably reach out to Eddie Maple to talk about Jimmy, because this is one of those people that the time has sort of forgotten. On the racetrack, certainly anybody of a certain age. I talked to Pat Kelly about Jimmy yesterday. Tell everybody about Jimmy Picou, who was a wonderful gentleman.
He was just a gentleman. I had met him a long time ago. We always knew where his barn was, because that was, we'd stop at the track kitchen. He had that barn for 100 years. You make a right, and that was his barn. Red and white, he'd have, you know, his colors, whatever. And that was right there, Belmont, where the new dorms are now.
Yeah.
But that barn, I think it's Lestrito now, I think might be there, or somebody. Somebody, but he had that barn for forever. He was in that barn, and he just was a classy guy. And I remember, this is how far back I go, I've been doing this, I'm 16 years old. So there's a race called the Coaching Club American Oaks.
You got it? Run it today.
No, you got it? You got it, Jimmy Picou's thing? I think he won it. If you could pull it up somewhere, he won the Coaching Club American Oaks with a jockey called Ernie Cardone. Now, Ernie worked for the chief, Alan Jerkins, and I went to make a bet one day up there, and Ernie was a mutual guy. And I said, hey, I remember that filly you won for Jimmy Picou. Look it up, see if I'm right.
How about you?
Yeah, see if I'm right.
The first.
And that was Coaching Club American Oaks. It was Jimmy Picou.
The first.
He had lightweight or something, but being I was today, I think he won it. So.
What, back when it was what, a mile and a half?
A mile and a half. Take a look at it. See if you could get. You guys are good with that.
Well, I'll pull it up.
You know, I still got a flip phone, so I can't do that.
The horse that I thought about, and I mentioned it, I don't know if we have the video, maybe just a clip of the stretch run, which is tremendous. He sent Val's Prince to Hong Kong.
Okay.
One of the first horses that went, I think, at the time, around that time, and it won the Hong Kong International with Cash Asmussen. And here you go. Watch for the purple. In the purple jacket, you can see him here, and where is he? This is some grainy picture. He's going to emerge right here with the, it's sort of a, there it is, right there, with the, is it like the nose band that, it's almost like a nose band. In the purple jacket, with Cash with the European style arm movement. And he's just going to win.
Wow.
There you go, by a nose. And Val's Prince was tremendous. I just remember, there's certain turf horses that, that sort of grabbed me at the time. With a Watt. Val's Prince was a tremendous and did his best running for Jimmy, even though he got passed around a lot in his career. Tom Amos had him for three starts.
Wow.
Which shocked me that I didn't have any recollection of Amos owning him or training him.
And you brought out a good point about Fred W. Hooper, because he worked for him for a number of years.
From the start of his own training career. Yeah.
But 1967, Quillo Queen.
How you like that?
How about that?
There you go.
How's that?
Huh?
You think I've been 16 years old, I've been doing this.
Every single day.
I have to admit, the jockey was before my time. Ernest Cardone.
I said it. Ernie Cardone.
Cardone. Oh, okay.
He was a mutual. He was a mutual, man.
Working at the mutual.
Working at the mutual. I went to make a bet. I said, Ernie, I remember when you won that mile and a half. He smiled from ear to ear. And now the chief used to use him because he used to have, he was a lightweight jockey. He did like 107.
The chief did that all the time. Yeah. The chief did that with all kinds of female riders, right?
Yeah, he did
the
chief.
Yeah. We love
how you like, that from memory, huh?
Not so bad.
Pretty good, huh?
Not so bad at all.
But well, Jimmy was a good, I liked him. He was a classy man, very classy guy, and yeah, we need more people like that in our business.
We want to watch the Haskell, but you appreciated that point I made, that when, you know, not everybody is cut out to go hustling owners.
No.
And here's
how about me? I'm guilty as charged. I should be able to do better, you know, get the order. I don't think people would mind, but it's hard. When you come from the school that we come from, it's hard to go out and, you know, just... But you look, your record is what your record is, like Parcells says. It's okay. You know, if I had a few slow years, I got a little two-year-old from my good man, Toby Keith. I got a couple, Henry Linden and the boys. If I get lucky there, I'll be back. Guy you met, Mr. Kelly, yep. Send me a few horses like you mentioned on your radio show the other day.
Well, they
all you need is a little break. His, you know what I'm saying? All you need is a little break. Because I didn't forget how to train.
No, it's, well, exactly. Well, look at, I'll tell you the most interesting story on this. Stanley Huff.
There you go.
Stanley Huff, who was, you know, was getting frustrated and, you know, he also, the wife was sick too.
But
he then does this bloodstock work for Sagamore and he didn't want to step away when the opportunity arose to train the horses that he picked out.
There you go.
And look at what Stanley's doing.
Tremendous. He's doing great now. And he's the same guy that...
Exactly.
But I tell all my young guys that work for me, I had a lot of assistants. You know, Chad's got a bunch of assistants that work for me. And I tell them all, it's the opportunity. You got to get that opportunity. And that's what I tell the young kids that are working for me now. Look, if you don't get the opportunity, there's so many great horsemen out there. But if they don't get the opportunity, what good is it?
There's no doubt. And I mean, and you look, this is to me, it's always a fascinating discussion. And I love having these conversations on the radio. We got only a couple of minutes. I want to get a couple of things in real quick. And we could show the Haskell.
Yeah,
and let's. I want to get your opinion.
We'll pick up on the far turn, but I want to alert people to watch on the far turn. There is what the stewards looked at. King for a Day is on the inside. Maximum Security just to his outside. Mucho Gusto comes up outside of them. And King for a Day checks pretty significantly here on the far turn. Stewards look made no decision. And we'll then watch the stretch run. Maximum
Security. Well, they made a decision. There was a decision. The decision was no call.
No change.
I
could tell you.
Go ahead. Your thoughts.
Well, let me tell you what I thought. Okay, I thought Louis. Now Johnny, obviously, he was trying to stay in there. But if you look at the mama turns, I know this sounds a little strange to your viewers, but that's a significant sharp turn around that turn. You don't really have much room to begin with. So Louis, kind of, if you guys could rewind that again, but you'll see he, in the middle. He actually stayed his course. However, there wasn't that much. Johnny was trying to put the horse in there, but the turn itself,
the turn itself
kind of stopped the horse. He didn't have much room there.
Yeah.
You know, even when he was in there, he didn't have much room. You'll see what I mean.
This was the steward's feet.
Yeah. Well, good job. See, let me show you the turn. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Just watch this turn now. See that turn? See what I mean? There's a little indentation there. It's not. There's like a little bit of a crevice there. You can see it. You'll see there's a little bit of a crevice there. I'll show you. Right now, Johnny's in there. You see that crevice? Right there. It's not that wide.
Well, and Mucho Gusto is also
leaning a little bit
on Louis.
He's right next to Louis.
So for those that are carrying on, somebody, I had one idiot on Twitter say, oh, the horse can't win without its cheating jockey. And I'm also getting tired. I understand people.
Louis's not a cheat.
It's preposterous. I mean, the stuff that's being said. Well, let's expand this, because the disdain and the anger directed at Jason Service and Gary West is disgusting. And taking it out on the horse is absolutely ridiculous. This horse has won five straight 100-plus buyers.
That's right.
And I'm also tired of a 16 claimer. That's got to stop, too. That's just ignorance. They were ready to give the horse away because, let's see, they gave away the stallion. They gave away the mare. There were no siblings worth a hoot. And Gary West buys horses for $300,000 to $600,000. He didn't need a homebred out of a mare that had thrown nothing. He and Ben Glass were ready just to say, let's just clear it out. And the fact that this horse, obviously there were some issues, otherwise he wouldn't have shown up when he did. So to call him a 16 claimer when he's now won two grade ones and is clearly the best three-year-old in the country, you know, until we reconvene at Travers. And I'll tell you, Jason Service late yesterday said he's going to send him up here to train, and that if he's doing well, they'll run into Travers. And good for them, because then they'll come back in the Pennsylvania Derby. So this is going to get, this three-year-old championship is going to get decided on the racetrack.
But this is what makes the game great, because he was in there for 16, and guess what?
Anybody could have taken him.
This gentleman here could have taken him. So the moral of the story is that's what makes the game so wonderful. And you're absolutely right, and good for you, Steve, because the horse is the star of the show. That horse is great. That's all there is to it.
It's a serious horse. I mean, it just stop. I mean, he was,
all there is to it.
He's three wide for 6 furlongs.
I'll tell you what. Take a survey, because you guys got stats for everything. How many times Baffert horse approaches a horse and gets outrun? You know how many times?
Zero.
We're up against the clock. I just wanted, if you guys can go show the stretch run from the Molly Pitcher, I just wanted to show.
Oh, sure.
Because Roddy's horse ran great. Coach Rock's top of the stretch.
Oh, yeah,
I thought she might hold up Midnight
sure.
Bijou, but Midnight Bijou is a monster.
The winner ran pretty good.
Oh, I'm saying Midnight Bijou is a monster, but I just wanted to applaud our local guy.
That was a snapback performance. 92 buyer, 92, but there's the familiar black and white. And
great feeling.
The race that we're not going to show, by the way,
it's great, Phil,
is the Monmouth Cup. Louis Saez. There's got to be an acknowledgement here right now. Louis Saez and Joel Rosario are right now, at this point in the year, the two best riders in the country.
I agree.
And Saez's ride on War Story? You want to see somebody will a horse to the wire. It's unbelievable. Saez is riding at a very high level, and also Rosero, who's now bopping around the country, and yesterday on Mucho Unusual. And by the way, look at this.
Look at this.
Watch Lily inside.
Look at this.
Look at him. Look at the extension he's getting.
Yeah, he's working.
It's funny. The outside looked all the way that he was going to pass him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
second place was Bal Harbour.
Bal Harbour went very well for Todd. Todd? Bal Harbour?
Yeah, you got it.
It's one of those good olders. Speaking of Macho Unusual, who won the San Clemente yesterday, if you put up the NHC graphic, the NTRA and the NHC, they wrote me into this Beat Bic contest. And you go to... NTRA, was it? Oh my gosh, I'm going to forget the address. NTRA.com/NHC/BeatBic or something along those lines. Look at the, huh? How about that, huh?
Yeah, but you know what? Is this for fans?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, how could they lose? You're easy to beat.
Well, not yesterday. I wasn't yesterday when I turned back 1,000 people yesterday.
For everybody out there.
Easy there.
For everybody out there.
Easy there, NPZ.
Run to the wind.
Relax.
Run to the wind.
Today, I took Souter in the Wicker. That's the Wicker Stakes today. There's 15 weeks of this leading up to a championship, Labor Day. Or maybe the week after, actually. Maybe the first full weekend of September. You beat me once, and you can, if you're not a tour member, you can sign up for the tour for $1. Save
$49. Oh, nice.
I'm keeping money in your pocket for the windows. So beat me, and you get to join the tour for $1. That'll make you eligible. You have to be on the tour to then be in the championship. These are all qualifiers, and who doesn't want to take a swing at me? And I'm not kidding either.
All right, we got to wrap it up. We're late again.
It's too important. We said 10:45, but what we do here, right, Nick?
Thank you so much, guys.
We appreciate you stopping by and sharing some memories of Mary Lou, sir.
We promised Monday, Tuesday breaks. You obviously got a free day yesterday, but tomorrow and Tuesday, let's go up to Bacon Hill to Winnie's and pick blueberries. It's going to be nicer tomorrow.
I'm going to go Greenfield Forever, where you can pick berries in town here. I'll tell
what kind of berries you got.
Any kind of berries. Blue, rasp, any kind of berry you want.
You got lingonberry?
Greenfield Forever.
Lingonberry? You got to go to Buffalo for the lingonberry.
So you know what? Next time I'll invite Emerald Life to come on here.
I didn't even give you my food report from Mom.
Oh, my God.
The Jersey Shore. The food down on the Jersey Shore.
Tremendous.
What's your favorite when you go down there?
So many. You can't even...
It's crazy. We were in Red Bank, Semolina,
Red Bank, absolutely tremendous.
Jimmy's Old School in Asbury Park?
How about that? Wow, you really doing
Mikey Farrell.
Well, you're going to Bruce Springsteen.
There we go.
Holy God.
Sunday.
That's a good reminder, though. 12:20 today with the steeplechase race. So if you're headed up, make sure you make note
up
of that. Early post time. That means we're out of here a little bit early. Not much early. But again, Nick, appreciate the visit.
Thank you so much.
And the memories of Mary Lou.
Thank you.
All right, Loose on the Lead every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you next week.
From the backstretch at Saratoga, this is Loose on the Lead with Steve Bick and Seth Merrill. Loose on the Lead is sponsored by Thoroughgraph, everything you need to win. Visit Thoroughgraph.com. The new Colonial Downs and the Virginia Equine Alliance. Hill and Dale, home of perennial standouts. Curlin, Kitten's Joy, Midnight Luke, and emerging stallions, Violence, Fire, and Army Mule. Visit hillanddalefarms.com for consignments at the 2019 yearling sales. Case Supply, the kitchen and bath professionals across upstate New York. Showrooms in Syracuse, Auburn, and Amsterdam. Make your dream kitchen and bath a reality. Visit casesupplyinc.com. And McMahon of Saratoga, standing breakout stallion central banker. Number one in New York and among the nation's leading young sires. Visit McMahonThoroughbred.com.